We'll say. Sif Yud Beis, let's go. Excuse me. Al kol ha-meisim, and rotsim en yes, fasabeg shleimu kareya me'asafa l'mata, v'yal av v'imot tzorch l'kor kol ha-safa. Do you have to start from the top, or can you start of the top is like the hem? That's a safa. Do you have to start from the top, or can you start a little below the top and then tear? So on all meisim, one of the differences, according to the Mechaber, between parents and other relatives, on all the other relatives, if you want, you could start under the seam and tear. But for parents, you have to tear from the top seam. However, this is a machlokes tanoi. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim. However, the Ramah paskins like the Das Yachim, but nonetheless, that's the psak of the Ashkenazim, like the Mordechai, who paskin like the Tana of Yehuda. His phrase is kol kera she'eino mavil kamei sofa ein shmo kera, or something like that. V'yesh omer mavil sharmeishim sharach l'kra sofa v'cheino again. Even on all relatives, you have to start tearing the seam, and that is our minhag. Again, I'm not sure what the starting to do, but at least the Ashkenazim, we always tear from the top. We never start from below the top. That's why even if you go to the kotel and you tear or whatever, it would be a lot easier to start from here, just physically, because the fabric is thinner, but no, that then you're not Yotze. To be Yotze, you have to start from the top. Yud Gimel. I'll call a mason, Yeshalakra Bifnim. The Gemara says on all mason you can tear Bifnim, on parents you have to tear Bachutz. There's a bit of Bachutz, because what Bifnim Bachutz means. Does it mean in the inner chamber or in public? Or does it mean under your coat or visibly? And we pass like the Rambam that it means both of them, because they're both the same idea. Does everyone have to see you tearing, or can you tear where no one's looking? There's just two attempts of tearing where no one's looking. You can go inside a room, close the door, or you could do it like under your trench coat. So we pass in both of those are motzer for other relatives and not for parents. I'll call a mason yeshal across, says Shulchan Aruch. Bifnim shlofne adam, you can tear in an inner chamber with the door closed, not with no one looking. Lefikach, therefore, likewise, yeshalach nesiyadu bifnim akorei abitzina. You can also put your hand inside your clothing and tear privately. It has to be outside in public, not under clothing, and not in an inner chamber. That's why often in the funerals in Eretz Yisrael, where in the funeral house, there's like a little room where the available are until they come out for the funeral. The other relatives will tear in the inner room and then come out, while the children who are tearing for their parents will have to, I mean, anyone's allowed to tear in public. But the petty children who are tearing for their parents are not allowed to tear in that room. They have to come in front of the whole kahal who's there for the funeral and tear in public. Yodalad. Another difference. I'll call a mason, rotsakur b'yad, rotsakur b'kli. I'll of the emo b'yad. On other relatives, you can tear either with a kli, a knife or such, or with your hand, or by hand. But your parents, it has to be davka by hand. I'll call a mace a little tricky, because according to this, parents, you have to tear by hand. Now, if you ever tried with modern clothing, you ever go to the kotel or something and try with modern clothing, you know, if I were to go to the kotel and I wanted to tear the shirt and I tried to do it by hand, it would be nearly impossible for me, because they have quality clothing nowadays and it's really hard to tear it by hand unless you're like, you know, super strong, whatever. But not for like, you know, a bent over weak rabbi like me or other Balabatim. So the poskim write, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan here, if you days, he writes that that's only if it's easy to tear. But our modern clothing, which is hard to tear, you can start with a kli and then continue by hand, and then your yotze even for other the emo. And that's what we do generally at funerals. We do, I mean, all these things, you're allowed to, like, if it's other relatives, you have the options open for you. It's not like you dock after you're making away other relatives. So the minute nowadays at funerals is that they start with the kli, because otherwise it'd be impossible, and then finish with the hand, and they just because we learned earlier that we also start someone else's tears and finish the aval himself. We learned that earlier in Sef Aleph or something. And therefore, the minhag is that the rabbi starts with the kli and the aval finishes by hand. So if you're the rabbi at a funeral, or in Israel, the Chevra Kadisha, who does all the rituals at the funeral, the rabbi just gives a speech. If you're the rabbi at a funeral, you basically have your, you know, how do you say second Yapani in English? A box cutter. Pocket knife, box cutter, whatever. It could be scissors. You have a kli, you start with the kli so that now you get through like the tough part over here. And then you tell the avel to rip either the tefach or the adjigalas libo, either the tefach or the adjigalas libo, right? Different sides is our minhag, by hand to finish it. And that's our pshara. Of course, if the ovel is a woman, then it's not considered tznius for the rabbi to start out. And therefore, instead, you have another female start out with a kli and then continue by hand. And nowadays, we do the same thing for parents and for other relatives, just because it's simpler that way.
The oval doesn't start because it's just impractical?
No, the reason the oval doesn't start it is because we mentioned this, I think, in Se'if Aleph. I'll give you the Amar Makom, the very first line of Pesach Tshuva. The Berke Yosef says that it's better for someone else to do the Kriya, because it's more Agmas Nefesh and Misbayish. And then we said, but Mizvoyus Mishlucha, and the compromise minhag is that someone else starts and the oval finishes. That works well with the minhag of the Orva Shulcha, that you start with the kli and finish by hand. That way, the rabbi starts the kli, and also better for the rabbi to be holding the knife, because the oval might be very distraught and might not be careful enough. I don't mean the oval is trying to harm himself, just the oval is very distraught. And the rabbi, you know, has practice. And that way the rabbi starts with the knife and the avel finishes by hand. That is the minhag. If you're a rabbi and you're uncomfortable with knives, you can just bring scissors. You know, if you have an unsteady hand. Continuing the difference between avel ve'imo and sha'ar krov. Al kol ha'meisim b'lahachlev toch shiva yom ha'machlev ve'ino korea. Al avel ve'imo machlev toch shiva korea. On other meisim, if you want to change your clothing, okay, we'll see. It doesn't mean change to freshly laundered clothing. Change to, you know, clothing that you put in your closet after wearing a few days ago. If you want to change during Shiva, for Avel Ve'imo, or if you want to, for other Mesim, other relatives, so if the Avel changes during Shiva, he can sit the rest of Shiva with untorn clothing. Just a chiyuv once to tear. But for Avel Ve'imo, it has to stay all Shiva. Avel Ve'imo, machlo Shiva, kare kol gadam shu machlo, fe'ena machlo, olim kom parah misha. For Avel Ve'imo, if he switches clothing, he puts on a new three-layer clothing, he has to tear all layers, and it can never be fixed, just like the original case, meaning the chi of all shivas, just as chomer as the chi of originally. Continuing, says the Ramah, quoting A, Rav Yerucham, Al kol ha'meisim yochel ha'chasri kor lachor tov shiva v'loba v'imo. Likewise, one second, another mason, just like he could change clothing, he could turn his shirt backwards so that the tears in the back and no one sees it, during Shiva for other relatives, but of course not for his parents. For his parents, he has to display the kara all 7 days. I don't know how chalmaisa this is, because we don't usually turn our clothing backwards, but the Gra disagrees with this. The Gra says, no, if he wants to change clothing, he's potter, but as long as he's wearing that clothing, even for other relatives, the Gra rejects this Rama and says something along the lines of, below Mash McCain, beh, what is Aleph Reish in the Gra here? V'lo mashma kein beh? Avel Rabasi, Sof Perik Yud, D'Tanya Hasam. Avel Rabasi is the same thing as what we call Maseches Smachos, right? They're just different names for, you see, Smachos is obviously a euphemism. It's not about Smachos, it's about Avelos. So the other name for it is Avel Rabasi, and that's what Aleph Reish means here when anyone quotes it, etc. Okay, so that's, this Ramah is controversial and the Gra rejects it, but I don't know if it's such a big halacha l'maisa anyway. Okay, there's a funny Taz here who says something about that if people know there were old clothing that you wore before the father died, then you can wear them without kriya. It's not exactly clear what he means. We say, no, he only means that you can wear them after shifa without kriya. because and it's not Maris Ayin that people say, why is he wearing untorn clothing? So Halacha L'maisa, this funny taz of Katan Zayin, there's no nafkamina. Yes.
The person can't wear Rashi Lohan's clothing, even
though he's about to rip it? Correct, but that had nothing to do with Simon Shinmet. That's later. Just like on the 9 days, or etc. I mean, I don't know what, or I don't know what Sfardim do in the Shvuah Shachalbo. Do Sfardim wear freshly laundered clothing? No, it's the same idea.
The din of the Kriya for parents is the same process. The Rebbe come over and 3 days in when he changes his shirt to start over?
I don't know. Usually they just don't change their clothes, so it doesn't really come up so much. Is it the same process? I don't know if there's a fixed minhag, so I assume the process is just however you want. What? Okay. Tes vav. Akala mesim sholel la'achar shiva ma'achar la'achar shloshim yom. Skipping the parentheses. Alav ve'imo sholel la'achar shloshim yom ve'inam ma'achar le'olam. Another difference. By other relatives, after Shiva, you can sew it with an uneven stitching, like if I were to sew it, with an unprofessional stitching. And after Shloshim Yom, you could sew it up fully professionally. That's called Ichoy. In general, we'll see Sholel means like any. Sholel is lot different Sholel. There's other synonyms which will come later. It means any type of unprofessional stitching. And Ma'acha means a complete repair, and we'll see Machlok to show them how complete a repair is called Ma'ache, and where's the borderline between Sholo and Ma'ache. In any case, these aren't super Halacha L'maisa nowadays, because with modern day clothing, I've never seen anyone actually like sew up the tear and then wear it the rest of their life. Clothing is like so cheap nowadays compared to the old days that, right, once upon a time, right? Klei chesef uchlei zahav usmalos. Right, gold and silver and dresses. Nowadays, I don't know, gold and silver cost thousands of dollars, and you could, I mean, I'm sure there's fancy designer clothing. You could go to the store and get a dress for $30. Usually people don't do this anymore nowadays, but if you want to, you're welcome to. On other relatives, sholel after 7 and ma'achi after 30 days, but avimo is more chomer. You can't even unprofessionally stitch it till after Shloshim, and you can never fully repair it. Never. We'll see later on. Even if you sell it to someone else, that person can't. That's for men. A woman can be sholel, unprofessionally stitch it immediately because of tznius, which is what we said, one solution for a woman who doesn't have like a layered option of keeping her tznius is to tear and then very quickly, while no one's looking, pin it with safety pins and do a sholel, and that would be mutter even a second later because of tznius. Hagav kol zman sha'asher lishlol filu chaver rashi pil yidei machat asur. He's talking about not about a safety pin. They didn't have safety pins yet. They only had regular pins, which, you know, there's a reason we call them safety pins, because the regular pins are not as safe because the point sticks out. But nowadays, I recommend safety pins for most of these things. When this is sort of sholel, don't think only an in-depth but unprofessional stitching is usher. Even just safety pinning is usher. Even just a pin is considered like sholel and is usher within 7 days for shar krovim or within shloshim for parents. Some places have a minhag. The Nimishur said that even for other krovim, they don't do sholel until after shloshim, and then it would be also even to safety pin. We don't have that minhag, although again, we don't really have much of a minhag because it's not worth it for us to re-sew most of the clothing. The only time I've ever seen anyone like pin their clothing is women with ne'akavot, but I've never seen a man ever do sholel or ma'acha, and the women also, after the shiva, they throw it in the garbage. They don't start sewing it up, which halakhly you could, just it's not economically reasonable thing to do nowadays. The parentheses here are very important for lundus of halacha l'maisa. I mean, again, nowadays, halacha l'maisa, not so exciting. Very important for lundus, says the parentheses. This goes by Manu's name, the Rav Yah. This is not hinted at anywhere in Shas one way or the other. It's a question which didn't come up in Shas. The ein chilek and pagam are a regular lav. Ah! We know by shloshim, if yontif comes, it eliminates shloshim, right? We'll see. When someone's parent dies, then yontif eliminates shloshim for some purposes. When someone's other relative dies, Yontif Eliminei Shloshim Ligamrei. Right? If someone's relative were to die, you know, for example, on Zion Nisan, they would get up from Shiva, then Pesach would hit. There's no Shloshim whatsoever. So does it also permit Ichoy Hakera? Does it also eliminate the Shloshim Isser of not fully repairing the tear or not? So that's not discussed anywhere in Shas. That is a nafkamina of a very fundamental conceptual question, which is the relationship between Kriya and Avemus. We have different clues in Shas as the relationship. Obviously, Kriya and Avemus both come when someone's relative dies, right? The question is, are those like two parts of one general mitzvah, or are they two totally different conceptual ideas? On the one hand, the Gemara says, Kriya l'chod v'avelos l'chod. Just because we paskin, anyone know rule of psakin avelos? Halacha kedivrei hamekel v'avel. That's in the Gemara. We always paskin like whoever's mekel and avelos. There's a few places we always paskin like whoever's mekel. The Gemara says, that's only in avelos, not in kriya. Avelos l'chod, kriya l'chod. The question is, what does that mean? Does that mean avelos and kriya are two totally separate mitzvahs and not connected? Or they both have to do with death, but they're not connected? Or does that mean, no, the level of chumrah is different? By kriya, we don't always pass like the mekel. By avelos, we always pass like the mekel. One is more chumrah than the other, but they're still the same basic idea. They're still conceptually similar. And one of the nafkaminas of this chakira as to whether kriya and avelos are one chiyuv, just as a more chumrah part, a more kal part, or two separate chiyuvim, just they both have to do with death, is, do the rules of the regel, the mevatel avelos, also say the regel is mevatel kriya? Is the regel mevatel kriya? What do you mean mevatel kriya? Meaning, mevatel, the isser of undoing the kriya, and says the Ramah here, avelos and kriya don't go together. They don't go, they're not brothers, right? Because the regel is mevatel shloshim for avelos, but not for kriya. Does everyone agree with this Ramah? Certainly not. If you look in the Shach here, in Chaf Dalet, he already implies that he doesn't agree with the Ramah. He says, oh, well, if it's almost Yontif, then you can sew it up quick before Yontif. Implying Yontif does make a difference. In Chaf Hey, he's very explicit about it. He says, Kach Kosev Eis Yosef, Shema Gos Maimonios, Shema Rav Yah, and this is in the, he tells you exactly where to find in that Gos Maimonios. Mihu, however, nowadays our minhag is against that. Our minhag is that when the regal comes, it's mevatel the kriya, and they do sew it up properly. And then he agrees with Rai from Ramban, that there's a Ramban who equates kriya to avelos when it comes to under 30-day-old babies who pass away, lo aleinu. And that shows that the difference between them is only chumr and kula, whether aloch dibrei mekel, but conceptually they are similar. And then he brings a diuk from Shimon Shin Tzadi Tes that we say shloshim vatal avelos, and we say it very generally, and sounds like even kriya. I'm not so convinced by his raya, but lamais it's machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach. You can't deny it is a machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach about the relationship between avelos and kriya. Avelos and kriya. One possibility is that they are separate. We'll see many nafminas. Or are they connected? This is the nafkamina is a regel. And well, first the Gemara says avelos l'chod, ukriya l'chod. What does that mean? So says the Ramah, quoting the Rav Yah, what that means is that they are not connected. And says the Shach, no, that just means that kriya is more chomer in terms of psach. But they're still connected, it's just a more chomer part and a more mekel part, just like in Shabbos. They're assumed rabbanon d'oraisa, they're all part of Melech HaShabbos. So too, there are more chomer parts than more kal parts. Now, Femina is regel, says the Ramah, eino mevatel iser t tikkun hakera, tikkun whether it's sholel or, and or Yichayin says, no, the regel is mevatel kemo shloshim. Regel is mevatel, or Esser tikkun hakera. Okay, this is a big conceptual machlokas, which we'll see another few times before the day ends. Let's just continue meanwhile so we can get some more times. Tesain al kala mesim im ratza choletz kasev al av the imo chayev lachlotz kasev. On other relatives, if you want, you can bear your shoulder, but on parents, you're chayev to bear your shoulder. Okay, it's very unclear exactly what this bearing shoulder thing is, especially since, as we'll see in the next sif, it's something that's not practiced for hundreds of years, so we're not so familiar with it. What exactly does it mean? Bearing your shoulders. Okay, the Beis Yosef quotes a strange shot, but we assume it means revealing, tearing. Well, what do we assume it means? If you look at the Tazer, he quotes Rashi. Seems that's a pashup shot. Tear your clothing so much that then it falls off and reveals your shoulder. And then the Prisha, he says, no, maybe it means just like take your shoulder out of the neck hole of your clothing and bare your shoulder by just, you know, like you could take a t-shirt and like get your hand out and have it go like this. But he says that's not pshat. Well, we assume pshat is like he quotes from Rashi, that it means to tear the clothing so much that it falls off the shoulder and your shoulder is bare. And that's a chiyah for of the imo, the holokachlothea mitachi cover. And that's not for all shiva, but that's you walk this way in the funeral in front of the bear, until the burial. However, if the son is a very honored individual and it's the Zion for him to walk like this, then he doesn't have to. There's only a chiyuv if it's not a bizayon for the social stature of the son. Continuing Yod Zayin, Dinu Chalitzas Kasev, Natsi Domela Avla Chalitzas Kasev, Lekorom Yachotz Leichoy Kalakorom Leichoy. A Nasi of the Sanhedrin, not the Nasi Hamadina, is similar to a father in terms of the Chiv Chalitzas Kasev, give me a second, and that the Kri has to be in public, and that you could never repair it fully. Kalakorn al Chacham Shemes, how about a Chacham would be like a rabbi or a shishiva. Kamen shechzir p'neim echor emeta sholim, as soon as they have to tear for a chacham, but as soon as they turn around from the funeral, they can repair it imperfectly, and the next day they can fully repair it. Or if you just hear a chacham died and you tear, again, nowadays we're not knowing so much, but if we would be knowing, you could be sholel right away and ma'achal the next day. But a nasi and a rabbi muvak, you only do sholel the next day, and you're never ma'acha. Al chacham calls me yamin, ve'al aves me small, ve'al nasi mikan mikan, ve'al av v'imah ve'al rabbi muvak, rots mikan, rots mikan, rots achol ishtam. Okay, this is just minhagim, right? The chacham who died, the rabbi, the reshiva, you bear your right shoulder, the aves in the left shoulder, the nasi both shoulders. Of a v'imo or your revi, either one or both. V'yeshomer me'adzorma da'achshav zanazel anogelachlus kasev klav achinogel edna arminig, that we never do this. Why do we never do this? Maybe because nowadays, like, we're all like the kind of people who are mechubed, and, you know, it would be too weird for us to walk that way. Also, since, like, no one does that for halos the whole world nowadays, maybe it would just look silly. Anyway, nowadays, you can... for the sake of Talmud Torah, you have to know Seifim Tes Zayin Yud Zayin, but for Halacha L'Maaseh, you can erase Seifim Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin, because we don't do it nowadays.
This is more on Tes Zayin, but why are so many of the levels just Kriya? Why is it built in? They almost would be causing serious issues for women. I mean, why wouldn't the Halacha from the get-go not have that issue kind of come about?
Because you have to do Kriya. I mean, Chalitza's Kasef was never for women. It was only imagining in a ben adam gadol, not a bas.
Then she also circumvents Sholel and...
Right, so, I mean, there's a tension. On the one hand, we want Snias. On the other hand, she has to do Kriya.
Why not make for women like a different area where they just do Kriya so the whole...
It's a great question. You know, I'm not sure. I guess, like, if you do it too harmlessly, it's not really Kriya. If you do it too harmlessly, then it's not a real tragedy. If you do it too harshly, then it's not Sniya, so we try to have our cake and eat it too, to the extent we can.
So, Chalitza Kasev, does that look a little bit about?
It doesn't sound like it. Doesn't seem like it. No. Even in the old days. Yod Ches. Al Kol Hamesim. Im Lo Shama El Al Acher Shloshim Yom Eino Korea. The old days is very common. Nowadays, it rarely happens with modern communication. Nowadays, still could. And Lo Shama El Acher Shloshim Yom Eino Korea. Okay, someone got this wrong on a test once, actually. There are two different rules here that you have to make sure to keep track of. There's one rule if someone didn't hear about the death, and another rule if someone heard but didn't care. Why did they hear and not hear? Maybe because, who knows, they were shogeg, they were mazed, etc. Or the case here, they just didn't have a shirt. What were they wearing? Maybe they were wearing an undershirt. Maybe they were wearing a borrowed shirt. Maybe they were wearing a shirt that was already fully torn and there was no place left. Okay, that was some of the options offered by the Shach. So there are two different cases. If they didn't hear, then the expiration is 30 days. Within 30 days, they tear for other relatives. And after 30 days, they're pater from Kriya. Even though it's news for them. But it's old. It's news for them. They only heard. But since 30 days, that's called a shmo rechoka. Old news. Even though it's news for them, they still don't tear. And if they heard but just couldn't tear, then it expires after Shiva. After Shiva, they're potter. But that's only for other relatives. For parents, either way, there's no expiration date. Okay, there's actually a bit of machlokas. The Beis Yosef brings out a machlokas Yeshonim, what it means forever, how long is forever, and Lipaskin means literally forever. For parents, there's no expiration date. It doesn't matter if someone didn't hear, and then they hear 12 years later their parent died, they have to tear. It doesn't matter if someone heard and never tore. Right? Then, if they heard and they never tore Kriya, 12 years later, they have to tear Kriya. They still sort of owe this mitzvah of tearing Kriya. Theoretically, what this means, let's say someone wasn't from, even if you aren't from, often tear Kriya. But they're so, they never even heard of Kriya, and their parent died, and they become Bal Tshuva. L'chor, 10 years later, they become Bal Tshuva. L'chor, they have to tear Kriya for their parents. Because they never did again, and their parents never expires and lasts forever. I haven't seen that in the Bal Tshuva yeshivas. But I guess
I feel like many of them are too young for it.
Correct, and also many non-from Jews tear Kriya at the funeral. Theoretically,
what if you tore Kriya correctly? Right?
Then you'd have to figure out. But yeah, you know what's if it's a suffek lachor, we'd say suffek lekula. Yeah. But correct, you'd have to figure that out.
Well, what about Ger? You say that
no, because a Gershin is guy who got a shenola dummy, so he doesn't have parents. So, me'ikar din, a ger doesn't have to tear kriya when his parents pass away, whether they're still Goyish or even if they are Jewish, because he's not related to them. So, the minig is that, you know, that the ger does do avelos for his parents in most circumstances, just out of niceness, etc. But there's no halachic chiyuv, per se. We'll get to it.
Would it be
Baal Tashchis? Well, in general, we say, this must be a little later, it's not Baal Tashchis to tear Kriya. You know, if I, unfortunately, like nowadays, you just open the news, you always hear that someone very precious died. You know, whether it's a chayal, whether it's a person who died naturally, etc. Meaning, you can go on the news and every day hear who died. So it's really, it's never Baal Tashchis to tear when someone dies. Certainly if it's an Adam Kosher, for sure not. That's a Shita in the Shulchan Aruch that we have to be makel against. But it's not, so it's not Baal Tashchis to tear if someone dies, so you don't have to worry about Baal Tashchis. Yud Tes. Kishem sha'asur l'achos kereshe inamas acha, kach asur l'afok sad elyon shabeg l'mat v'lachoso. Just like you're not, yeah, Mordechai.
Sorry, on Yud Tes, if they hear about the death, like Chas Shalom, the Hasi situation, they hear about the death, when the person was in after a couple months ago, that kind of came late.
So then, if it was someone's kid and they heard, Taka, we just discovered he died 6 months ago, then they don't tear Kriya. If it was someone's parent, then they would tear Kriya. Correct, that would be an example of this. Lo Aleinu, I'm saying it already happened many times in the past, unfortunately. Shouldn't happen again. Yes. And whatever. Look, B'derech HaTeva, it's hard to imagine that every single person who's unaccounted for is still alive, although, you know, we can always hope that it's the maximum number. Yud Tes. Okay, just like you're not allowed to do ichud, which is complete repair, we'll define that soon, of a kerash einu mas'ache, likewise, you're not even allowed to turn it upside down and say, well, now that it's on the bottom, like kilu l'hamin, now it's on the bottom, it's not a real kriya anymore, so now I can fix it? No, whichever way you turn it, you still can't fix it. There's actually a big debate here. Again, it's not all the chomais and the taz. Can you just cut out the whole square that contains the kera and put a new square instead? Is that considered fixing the kera? Because now you fix the garment, or no, you're not fixing the tear. It's an interesting question, right? If here's your clothing and you made a tear over here, you're never going to sew up that tear. The question is, can I just cut out this whole piece, like I cut on the seam, cut out that piece, replace it with another piece? From the tzad of the beged, you repaired the kera. But from the tzad of the kera, you have it. So is the chetz of the kera, and you haven't repaired it, you just cut it out and throw it in the garbage, or is the chetz of the beged, and you haven't repaired it? That is a big machlokes. The Taz discusses this in Sefkat and Yud, and people argue with him in the in the
Sefkat and Taz.
The Taz and Sefkat and Yud. What?
No, and the Pesachim is about this.
Sorry, I was looking at the wrong part of the page. And the Pesachim have gotten tests, and lots of other people argue about this. Halacha l'maisa, I know people really do this so much anyway, so I don't know if it's a super halacha l'maisa. I don't know if it's a super halacha l'maisa question, because I don't know if people do it so much, but yes, exactly. In the Pesachim Tshuva test is where they argue on him. L'maisa, the Orcha Shulchan is Mekel, although it's a pretty even Achlokes HaPoskim, and even the Orcha Shulchan is only Mekel after 12 months. After 12 months, you can take this. So even he was only Mekel after 12 months. L'maisa, it's a Machlokes HaPoskim. I guess theoretically one could be Mekel. It's a Machlokes HaPoskim at the Rabbanans, but I don't know if it's really worth your money to try to do that nowadays.
That's only prepared.
Correct. Because for other relatives, you do Icha after 30 days anyway, so what's the big deal? Even the buyer, meaning if the mechef to the beged, even if he sells it to me, I can't sew it up. Even though my relative didn't die, I still can't sew it up. Therefore, when the avel sells this garment, he has to tell the buyer, you should know it's torn, and you're not allowed to sew it up, because that's a halachic tear, not just an accident. Okay, there's a big discussion in the Rishonim already. Why do we have to tell him? Why isn't it obvious? And there's a bit of machlokas whether the telling is mitzad yorde or choshen mishvat. Is that I have to tell mitzad choshen mishvat, because otherwise, you know, it might be a mekach toz, or I have to tell mitzad yordeya, because otherwise, not everyone knows this halacha, and they violate the halacha. So is the key, is it for lifnei iver? Because he might not know the halacha, or is it for choshen mishpat, just to avoid any chashash of ripping people off? But whichever way is, I have to tell him. And if I buy, someone sells clothing, and you see it has a tear, then misafik, you're still doing machmer, even if he didn't tell me. I can't say, since he should have told me, therefore, if he didn't tell me, that proves it was just an accident and not an avelos kriya. Nope. You have to be machmer. Maybe the guy forgot to tell you and didn't know the halacha. And therefore, whenever you buy a torn garment, you're not allowed to sew it up, because it might be from avelos. For asher l'chol akav, you can't sell to a guy. It's a general rule. You can't sell anything that's asher to a Jew to a guy if the guy might sell it back to a Jew. Meaning, I can sell a piece of unidentified meat to a guy, because he's not going to sell it back to a Jew. What Jew would buy meat from a guy? Right, but I can't sell, let's say, a shatnez garment that looks like it's not shatnez to a guy, because he might sell it to a Jew. And, you know, let's say there's some, I don't know, a big frock coat that looks very Jewish, and I sell it to a guy because it's shatnez. I can't do that, because he might sell it back to a Jew. Likewise here, I can't sell the torn garment to a guy, because he might sell it back to a Jew, and then the Jew will sew it up.
You can't sell it to the Jew. Why aren't we worried that the guy's going to sew it up, and that's also a problem?
Is
it a din in
the... That's a good point. Did I... maybe you're right, Taka. Maybe I spoke too soon. You can't sell it to a guy, because the guy himself will tear it up, and that is That is bad enough. Okay, I think you're right. Tom, I take it back. Yes?
I just noticed the one sort of because the chiv kri on the beged is only, like, if I have clothing in my drawer, I don't have to tear it.
The chiv is that the kri you do, that someone does, has to be a permanent kriya. And therefore, if they ever sell it to someone and that person sews it up, that's a violation of their chiv to make sure it's a permanent kriya.
Yeah, but it's clearly that the chiv kri itself, I have something in your drawer, I don't have to tear it. And if I have someone else's clothing on me, I don't have to tear it. I say, your beged on you.
But when you tear, you have to tear in a way that it'll never be fixed. Once you tear, you're chiv to keep that tear going. That's the chiddush. If you're not chayiv, you're not chayiv. If you are chayiv, you have to keep it going.
Can I, like, for the selling to non-Jew, can I sell it to, like, somebody who makes shmatas, you know?
Lachor, yes. If he's going to tear it up, if he's going to make it in the newspapers in the old days, I can, right? Meaning, you know,
these are not Jewish.
If it's fabric recycling, maybe I can, because I think they actually recycle it. But if it's Salvation Army, then I can't, because they're going to send it to Bangladesh and people will wear it. And sew it up.
The Jews in Bangladesh.
No, maybe he's right. Even the Goyim. Still,
well, what if they'll, like, pulp it up and make it into a new thing?
Then it's fine. That's recycling. Okay. Chaf. Okay, you can look in the notes of Caleb if you want to know what all these mean. For now, we'll suffice with saying unprofessional stitching. If you tear, basically, if you have a garment, let's say that garment was either torn for avelos or just got torn, and someone, you know, sewed it up not fully, right? Sewed it up in an unprofessional manner. If I tear along that seam, then that doesn't count because I'm tearing something that was already torn. But if I tear something that was so on a seam that was sewn with Alexandrian ichoy, right? We know in Shas, right? In Shas, what does Alexandria always represent?
Professional.
Spitz workmanship, right? Everything top quality is from Alexandria, right? Whether it's Nicanor's doors or, you know, they brought the mumchen from Alexandria when they wanted to fire the Beis Avtinos, et cetera, et cetera, Yoma. Alexandria was the, like, craftsmanship, workmanship capital of the ancient world. What?
That's even how they sat in Shul.
Okay, they sat in Shul by their trade, et cetera. So Ichoy Alexandria is the most spitz type of Ichoy. If it was the most spitz type of Ichoy, then you are Yotze, because that's considered not ripped. That's a basic principle. Sholel and all its similar things are still considered ripped. That's why it's mutter after shiva for other relatives and after shoshu for parents. Ichoy is considered as if it's not ripped at all. That's why it's only mutter after shoshu for other relatives and never for parents. And likewise, if I rip something that was already sewed up, if it was sewed up with sholel and similar things, I haven't done anything because it was already ripped. If it was ichoy and I rip it, then I've done something because I've ripped whole cloth.
Is it all relevant if the kriya happens accidentally on the seam of your shirt or the shirt?
According to this, if the kriya is on the seam of a shirt, then it would only be okay if the seam was ichoy Alexandri.
So do we say, like, modern?
So that depends on the machlokas, what Ichoy Alexandri is, which is a machlokas Rishonim and Achronim, what Ichoy Alexandri is. What does the Mechaber say? Shave milamala uboletes milamata. If the seam is, you know, like most of our seams, right? It's, you know, it's like flows from one to the other on top, but on the bottom you have like the stitching. I think, again, it's a little hard to tell, translate from their reality to our clothing, but I think that what the Mechaber is describing is like most normal seams nowadays. So in that case, if you tore on a seam, you would be Yotze. However, it's not so posh that we pause like the Mechaber. Again, there's a big Malchus Rishonim, I'm not going to give you the names, they're in the Beis Yosef, but the Shach here says, Yesh Mefarshim, and seemingly leaning towards those Yesh Mefarshim, that no, it means ain't no nicker at all. It means you don't see a seam at all. It just looks like that was the original cloth. That would be very, very fancy stitching, which is not your typical seams nowadays. And the Gra passes that way. Look at the Gra. What does the Gra say here? He says, Harai Vidvar Rush in Sefkat Mem Gimel. The Mechaber is following the Rabbi in the Rush, but the Ramban says, Shushav Lalamato, going to Ezo Ichoi Ke'ari, as if it was woven that way in the first place. There are very fancy people, maybe that's at Alexandria. You don't have to go to Alexandria to have a nice scene. I don't know if you ever did this. There are very fancy people who can actually fix a tear and make it look like that was the way the original fabric was woven. They like reweave it somehow with tremendous skill, as if they were Alexandrians. So that's the machlokas. Does ichoy mean sewing with a professional tailored seam? Or does ichoy mean reweaving, I think is the phrase. I did this once when I ripped a suit at one point in my life. I took it to this really special guy who charged like $100. For like fixing a 1-inch tear or something. And he made it look like, he didn't make it look like a seam. He made it look like it was woven that way in the first place. I don't know how. Okay, I'm not Alexandria. But I actually saw it with my own eyes. So that's a machlokas here.
So
ichoy
Alexandria, meaning
ichoy
is below
or
level,
no? No, l'chor ichoy means ichoy Alexandria, even though he only mentions the word Alexandria here. Anyway, Lamaisa, it's a bit of a machlokas. So what if you tore on a modern day seam? Maybe that's valid tearing according to the Mechaber, but not according to the leaning of the Shach and the Gra. So certainly it wouldn't be l'chachila. L'chor would be kedai to tear again, yes. It's a little hard to tell with these things. Even the halachzak is very makel. You know, he still say, we'll see soon, suffered your own lakula. Just not going to be very makel, even in a das yachid. But. Correct. So lemaisa, I don't know if I would make your tear again, but it wouldn't hurt. Chav aleph. Kara al meisu meisu. Okay, chav aleph, chav beis, etc. are all dealing with very sad cases when a person loses multiple relatives. So. Karal Mesu 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 Acher Toch Shiva, Korea, Kara Acher, La Acher Shiva, Mosu Al Kara Rishon Kol Shehu. If someone died, one relative died, and then another relative died, let's assume they're not, it'd be easier if they're not parents, then it's a difference within Shiva and after Shiva. Within Shiva, each relative needs their own tier. So if someone's brother died, and then 5 days later their sister died, they need to make a new tier. What are the two ways to make a new tier? Anyone tell me what all the Nosi can say? Either rip how much further? No, then it's not a new tear. Then it's continuation, a tefach further to a new tear, or go sideways and start again. How far sideways do you have to go? We'll see. Three at most. Right. Three at most. But la'achar shiva, if it's after shiva, then they only have to add another kol shehu to the existing tear. And if a third relative died after the shiva of the second relative, then it's after the shiva. So they only have to add a kol shehu. How many relatives, I don't know, this person must have a very large family. How many relatives do they have and keep tearing the same shirt? Right? If they save the shirt. Some people do this with the kotel. Right, they save one shirt and they bring it to the kotel and they tear 100 times. How many times can you get out of one shirt? So at tabur, they can keep adding a kol shehu until they get to their belly button. Under the belly button doesn't count anymore because that's already the bottom, not the middle. Higil at tabur, they got down to their belly, meaning to the level of their belly button. It could be sideways. Marchet shlosha etzbosugur, they have to go 3 etzbaos horizontally and start again from the top. And then they can keep adding a kol shehu each a tefach, then add a kol shehu each time until they get to their belly button. Basically, they could have like, you know, 1, 2, 3, however many machin shel etzbaos, they could probably get like, you know, a good, you know, 100, 50, whatever relatives into one shirt. Nismal the fun of Zilachar. And if the whole front is torn, they could turn it backwards and then turn it backwards and they have a whole new front. Nismal malhokulamata. And if it's all both sides are fully torn on top, they could turn it upside down. Again, with our shirts, it's a little hard to imagine how to turn it upside down. With old fashioned shirts, maybe it's more possible. What if they're wearing the shirt for the rest of their life? They're very poor. They can't afford a new shirt. And it's all full top, bottom, back, front, everywhere. Then it's as if they don't have a shirt and they're potter from Kriya from then on. Okay, not so likely to be. Maybe the first one or two, but the rest of it, not so likely to be Maisa for us. You know, there are poor people nowadays, but even the poor people have more than one shirt. They just can't afford other things nowadays. they might not be able to afford rent, but or electricity, but old shirts are very cheap nowadays, and they probably give them out for free in places for poor people. The Chaf Beis. Yeah. What? According to the way we paskin, yes, or you'd have to adapt it for parents. Amr lo. How about parents? Amr lo meis aviv. This is a big machlokes we've shown him. Amr lo meis aviv. Vekara the achar shiva meis beno v'hosif. Misachat hachlam v'lo ha'elyon. Amr lo meis beno v'kara v'achar shiva meis aviv. Eino mosev el kareh kriyach. Kereh she'eino aviv v'imo betosefes. This is the machlokes chacham Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira or Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. If someone's parent and other relative dies at the same time, can they be yotzi with one tear, or do they have to have a separate one for parent and separate one for shar krovin? And we paskin separate one for parent, separate one for shar krovin. There's a tremendous machlokes we've shown him. What about if it's not at the same time? Does Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira also say you need separate for parent, separate for shar krovin? What's the achra the machaber? Although we'll see, this is a little complicated soon. The Achra the Mechaber is Lachor like the Rambam and many others, that it depends on the order. If first the father died and then the other relative, the example here is the son was just another relative, then you can add to the father. The father went down to the heart. There's still plenty of room till the belly button. You can add a kol shehu for the other relative. And then you can be Ma'acha the bottom kol shehu, because that's for another relative and not the top part till the heart, because that was for a father. If his father died, his other relative died and he tore, and then his father died, then we paskin. No, if the father died, you can add a little for another relative. And another relative died and you start, you can't add for a parent. For a parent, you have to start from scratch. And therefore, you need an entirely new kera for the parent. The here he quotes Machlokes in him and the Bach. We're not getting into all the shitas now. The Torah has a funny lashon. What did the Torah say? Torah says you can't add for a parent to an existing tear because you need, based on the Mechaber in Yud Beis, the Mavdil Kamei Safa, you need to tear the hem. And therefore, you can't add for, if you already tore for another relative, you can't add for a parent. What does this mean? The Bach understands what the Torah said is that really you can add either way. Really, if there's a parent, you can add a little more for a kid. If there's a kid or other relative, you can add a little more for a parent. Just a parent needs tearing the hem. So all it means is that if you didn't tear the hem because you're a Sfardi, for another relative, you can't add for the parent because you didn't tear the hem. But if you did tear the hem for the other relative, you can add for a parent. Basically, the Bach says you can add for a parent. As long as you have the technicality, you check the technical box that you made sure to tear the from the top, from the hem. However, the Shach rejects him. The Shach says, no way. That's not the opinion of even the Ravid of the Mukhi Yosef, and most Rishonim. That's clearly the Ramah. The Ramah thinks you always tear the hem. And yet he is silent and agrees with this Mechaber. He says, no. It's fundamentally that for parents need their own kara. Why? Because parents are different than other relatives, and therefore you can't just add for a parent. A parent has to start from the beginning. Basically, the machlok is in the lashon of the Torah. What is the lashon of the Torah? The lashon of the Torah is that lashon of the Torah, not the lashon of the Gemara. Kara al aviv v'achar kach meis beno. Again, aviv is aviv or imo. Beno is any other relative. Mosif, right? The but kara al beno v'achar kach meis aviv eino mosif. Now, why? The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara just says, because it's not betosefet. You can't add for your parents. But the Torah adds something here. What does the Torah say? What does the Torah add? What's his exact lashon? I think his exact lashon is quoted by the Mechaber. The next seif. Sarach lahavdil kamei safa. Lahavdil kamei safa. Kamei safa just means the edge of the hem. Now, what does this mean? This is the machlok is between the Bach and the Beis Yosef and the Shach. What the Torah means. Says the Bach means really you can be Mosif if the person originally tore the Safa, but not if he didn't. Really, it's just a technicality. Fundamentally, you can be Mosif. If he tore for his son, he can just add more and go down to the heart for the father if he tore the Safa. Just since they usually didn't tear the Safa, according to the Sfaradim, etc., then he said not to. However, the Beis Yosef and the Shach say no. say, no, really? You can never be Mosif for a parent. But why did the Torah say it has to do with tearing the hem? Why doesn't it just say you can't be Mosif for a parent? So here they add something. You know why you can't be Mosif for a parent? Because you need to start the Kriya for a parent from the Safa. That's what he meant. He meant, not that you have to make sure that it's torn from the top. You have to start from the top. And since you already started, therefore, basically, the machlokas seems to be here, maisa totsa'a. Isn't that for the parent that's the top hem needs to be torn, or that you need to do the tearing of the top hem? And those are two different ways to understand it. Here, it's just, oh, for parents, you need totsa'a of Havdolas Safa. While Beis Yosef and Shach understand, no. For parents, you need a Maisa of Kriya from the top to the bottom. That's what it means, Hevel Kami Safa. It has to be a Maisa, a full Maisa Kriya for parents, from top to the bottom. Even if the Totsah is that it's torn from top to the bottom, if you don't have a Maisa tearing from top to bottom, it's not good enough. Therefore, you can never add for a parent.
It's a little difficult that we use a Kli to tear from the top, though.
And that's okay, because the Ikar Din Yotzif the Kli. That's the assumption.
Okay.
Yeah, the assumption is that Ikar Din Yotzif for a Kli, with a Kli. Right, otherwise it would be a good kasha. Okay, and that's we pass like the Beis Yosef and the Shach against the Bach that's quoted in the Shach here, which really, again, Machlokes Rishon and Shad of the Ravid, and others is like the Bach that really you could add, and the Shad in the Ravid according to Mukhe Yosef and the Tor and the Rambam, etc., is that fundamentally you can't add for a parent. Let's just summarize in Chaf Gimel. If you someone simultaneously is the funeral for two relatives, or is present when two relatives dies, or hears the news of two relatives, right? Again, it could be someone whose relatives were, you know, we don't want to use too many contemporary examples from when I was a kid. The relative was behind the Iron Curtain, right? And, you know, their father died 10 years ago and their mother died 5 years ago, but they just heard today because somehow the news got out, right? Nowadays, the relatives are in North Korea, right? Who knows how many years ago it happened, and you're here now. Then you could be Yotze one Kera for both of them simultaneously. Kara v'achar kach meisvol meis acher toch shiva kora kera v'tnei atvol be'mi osir kera atvol shmosvol v'kora tefach omar chushol shetvol shkera tefach la'achar shir mosvol kerishon kolshu. This is all for other relatives. If it's simultaneous, you just do one tier. If it's not simultaneous. If it's during Shiva, you add another tefach or go sideways and start again. If it's after Shiva, you add a kol shehu. Meis avivo ima ve'ech mishar krovav. What if it's a parent and another karov simultaneously? Korea tchil avivo al ima ad libo umarchik shlosha etzbos v'korea tefach al hameis ha'acher. Then, if it's simultaneous, you have to do two different keras. First of all, ad libo for the parents, and then your marchik three etzbos, or according to our minhag, you go from the left to the right. And then you tear tefach for the other relative, meaning there are many more than three etzbos. You go from the left to the right. The Shulchan Aruch didn't have them, and what we do. Meis aviv v'kara. What if it's not simultaneous? Meis aviv v'kara v'achar shiva meis echem ekrovim. Mosval kara rishon v'tachto mis acha ve'elyon eino mis acha. Right, if first the parent dies, and then another relative dies, then you can add. If during Shiva you add the weight during Shiva, if it's after Shiva you add a kol shu. What if another relative died and then he tore and then his parent died? Like we just quoted, you have to start again, it's both sideways, and start again from the top because you have to tear from the top. The korach megillah, you won't tear till the heart. What if both parents die simultaneously? Although then, since they're both the same din of avivimo, you're yotzei with one kara for both them. This is a good summary of the halacha le'maisa. Yes.
I have two cases that have to be discussed. What if both parents died during Shiva? Not simultaneous. And what if one before, one after Shiva?
You see. What if both parents died during Shiva of another relative?
No.
One, the father
not simultaneous.
The father dies and the mother dies within 7 days. Then he would have to be marked for its both and tie entirely new tier.
From the top
to the libo.
And then after.
What if one parent dies and the other parent dies after Shiva? What if one parent dies and the other parent dies after Shiva? That is a great question. I think the diuk, maybe there's no strong diuk from the Shulchan Aruch here, and I forgot to bring my pile of svarim, but it seems to be svara that you would also have to start from scratch. Seems that for a parent, you always have to start from scratch.
I don't know if we discuss this, but is there a side to say it's better to take a new garment instead of humans?
No. As long as you're tearing on the actual fabric and not on what was sewn up from beforehand in a way that's less than perfect, there's not even a lechatchila.
So you still more kriyas if a parent and another relative die, then it turns back?
Yes, because two parents are the same din, and a parent and another relative are two different dinim.
Even though a parent...
It's not a matter of sadder versus less sad. It's a matter of the type of din. Basically, the father and the mother are all one din, so you can be able to use one kriya if it's simultaneous. The brother and the sister are all one din. The father and the brother are two different dinim.
What does it mean to hear at the same time? What's considered the same time?
What's considered the same time? I guess same time would mean that you hear about the second one before you tore for the first one.
Not before you tear, but...
Yeah. Let's say someone heard their father died and is waiting to tear till the funeral. And then hears that their mother died, and then it's hearing at the same time. But if they already tore for their father, then it's considered not hearing at the same time.
Just to clarify, are we distinguishing between a brother and a sister versus a brother and a son?
No.
No, any two non-parents.
Yes, any two non-parents.
Why do you say two different dinim? I understand.
No, a brother and a father are two different dinim, and that's why they need two different tiers, even if it's simultaneous.
And you have the non-parents together.
Yes, correct. Okay. Chaf Dalid. Amrlo. Meis Aviv Vikara. Amrlo Meis Aviv Vikara. Chakonim Tshuva. No, mistakes, right? Everyone knows. Same as it's the same rules as mistakes in the Nedarim. So the name Sogi mistakes in the Nedarim and in Tefillah, etc. They said his father died, so he tore. And then they said, no, it was their son who died. Yotzei de kriya, he's yotzei. V'husha no lo tochdei diber. As long as he mentally corrects it, tochdei diber. Meaning, if he tears in tochdei diber, he realizes who it was. He's yotzei because tochdei diber can change his mind. If it's acher kdei diber, it is too late. So only if he hears very immediately. Lo no lo acher kdei diber lo yotza. Okay, that, again, it's the same as if you say Hakel HaKadosh instead of Melch HaKadosh, right? You have Until Toch Deidibur to correct yourself here. He's Until Toch Deidibur to mentally correct himself. Avalim Amrlo Meis Lecha Meis V'kav Savar Avivhu V'kara V'chacha Nimsu Shubano Yatza Filo Nodolo Ad Achri Deidibur. But if they just had a relative dying and he thought it was his father and he tore, but he didn't know. He just thought it was his father and he tore and then discovered it was his son. Then even if he only discovers it 3 days later or 3 weeks later, he's yotzei because he tore generally and he didn't tear specifically for his father. That was just a theory he had. This is actually super controversial. It's the main place the Achronim argue about this is in Siman Reish Lamed Daled and Hilchos Hafaras Nedarim. But the Shachir already says in Sif Katan Lamed Zayin about Bach Pasuk Chia Gamel Yotzei Kriya Lo Mikri Stam Lo Kriya Meisul Shem Mishahu. So that says, what do you mean? If he thought it was his father, then he was tearing for his father. Then if he finds out it's okay, you were too late. The only case where whenever he finds out it's okay is if he tore Stam. He heard a relative died. He tore for a relative. He was tearing generally. If he was tearing generally, then whichever relative it is, he was Yotzei. But if he thought it was his father, that's the same as saying it was his father. Okay, this is a big machlokas. The svar is clearly on the side of the Bach. If he thought it was his father, then how can he change his mind later? He thought it was his father. The Machaber is very makel here and says that, no, since he only theorized but never says it, it's as if he was still open-minded. Okay, that's a big chiddush. Lemaisa, the modern day achronim, or the later achronim, are making like a machaber here, because kriya is a din d'rabbanan. But the machaber is a big chiddush.
I think you're completely general. You have no particular thought about who you're caring for. Why does that work? Especially because you don't only need a tzotzah, you maybe also need a maisa of kriya. Why does it work to just have a general kriya on someone in the world?
Aha. Uh-huh. So, the, and this is going to get a little complicated. I don't.
We have a reasonable valid here.
Okay, one answer could be because of the din of Brera, which then will get us in trouble in some other sugyas. But certainly for Kriya, we can just say because of Brera. You know, you can leave something open and determine it later. And that's what the Shach says. The answer to Gan Lamaches, the Yesh Brera. Right? If he just hears Stam for whatever relative it is and finds out later, then he's Yotze because of Yesh Brera. So let's stick with that for now. If he gets more complicated, we're not going to get into it now. Okay. Other mistakes. Chafei. Hailo Cholav and Isali Fikara Love and Harkach Mace. There, someone had a relative who was sick and fainted. They thought they died and tore, and then it turned out they were still alive, and they died a minute later. In Mace Tokhde Dira shall create in Sarkriya Kharis and Lab Sarkriya Kharis. If they die within Tokhde Dira, that's good enough. Because Tokhde Dira is Kiyu at the same time. So it's as if the person tore or tore and the relative died. If they died 20 seconds later, which is after Tokhde Dira, then they're not Yotze because they tore when the relative was alive, and they have to tear again. Chafav, here's the chiluk is interesting, but it's obvious. If someone they told someone, they said, Yankel, your father died. So he tore kriya and started sitting a veil, so and they told, no, your father didn't die. The hipsik, so he stopped. Chazar Amrlo Pamarisha Mesa, the Mace Kemosha Amru Shonim, Yatsini Kriya. And then they told him, if they tell him now your father died, he wasn't Yotze, his father died after Tokhde Dibur. But they tell him, no, actually, we were right the first time. Your father died originally. Then he gloy milsa that his kriya was valid because his father really was dead, and therefore he is Yotze. Okay, not even such a chiddush. What's more interesting is he also Yotze Shiva? Let's say they told him your father died. He started sitting one day of Shiva. Said, no, your father's alive. So he got up. And 2 weeks later they said, your father was actually dead originally. Says, well, I really sat one day of Shiva for him and then I stopped. Is he Yotze or not? The Shach points out that later on we'll see from the Ramban that he's Taki Yotze. The big chiddush, if he did part of Shiva, even if he accidentally skipped part of Shiva, he's still Yotze, Limafreya, and he wouldn't have to sit Shiva again. Again, this is all assuming his father's dead originally. If they tell him your father's alive the whole time and now died, obviously he has to start from scratch. You're not Yotze anything if the relative's still alive. Chaf Zion. Katan shemes lo mes mikarin lo. A katan, let's translate this as baby, right? As we'll see. A baby whose relative died, we tear for him. Already you see, like we're talking about a baby, we tear his clothing. Why do we tear his clothing if he's a baby? Someone tell me in two words. Agmas nefesh, meaning not because babies are chayav in kriya, but because it makes everyone else sad at the funeral to see a baby with torn clothing. And therefore, the poskim write that it doesn't have to be al pi halacha. It can be a kriya of a. It's okay if you only tear a kol shehu, right? That's what Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes in the Drisha. You only have to tear a little. You don't have to be yotze the halachas of kriya because it's not a mitzvah of kriya. It's just for agmas nefesh, and therefore it doesn't matter exactly how you do it. As long as you do some kriya, there's agmas nefesh. And then there's a whole dion in the nosei kalim here. What if it's a shmua krova? What if you actually hear the news later Is there still an Inyan Agmas Nefesh? Is there not an Inyan Agmas Nefesh? So the Taz here in Tesvav says, well, if it's not the funeral, you just hear the news later and there's no Agmas Nefesh anymore. While the Peschei Tshuva here in Sifkatan Yud, just want to make sure I didn't get it backwards. No, sorry, take it back. Taz says, even in the Shmua Krova, if you hear 20 days later, you tear. And the Peschei Tshuva, what?
Yeah.
And the Peschei Tshuva says that he quotes the Masa Ben Yomin that you don't tear. Really, the answer just is, it depends if there's going to be if you look in Masa Ben Yomin inside, you see there's not really enough focus here. Just depends. If you hear 20 days later and there's going to be a big Asif and Shul with Hespedin, then you tear the baby's clothes. It'll lead to Agmas Nefesh. If everyone's just going to stay home, then you don't tear the baby's clothes. And the principle really is tear the baby's clothes if the Rabbim are going to see, and not if the Rabbim aren't going to see. Okay, this with the baby is, you know, Lo Aleinu, we hope this won't happen, although, you know, in normal life, it happens sometimes that someone passes away and leaves little babies. What?
Is the medical tear nowadays?
I never checked, but I would assume so, because there's no machlokes. I would assume if the... I don't know if it... Again, a little baby might not come to the funeral. Let's say not a baby. A four-year-old kid, whatever. Then I assume they would tear his clothes for the funeral. Yeah?
When he got older, would he have to tear it?
No, because he was potter at the time. He was a kappa. And all these things about tearing leaders only if you were theoretically could have been chayav at the time, not if you were accustomed at the time. Now, what's interesting is the discussion, which is not in the Gemara at all, but starts with the Ritz Gias, says the Ritz Gias. He says this all talking about Kadosh Shloim Gilachinov. That's for Agmas Nefesh. Right, katan shelo higia lechinach. That's the Gemara's chiddush of Agmas Nefesh. But what about a katan shehigia lechinach?
That's
for chinach. Is that also Agmas Nefesh, or no? That's already chinach. That's kedasu kedin. What does Rabbi Kiva Eger say here? He says, "Beprisha kasa the katan mamish korlo ktsas from the Agmas Nefesh. The katan shehigia lechinach korlo kedin kriyatefa." Like the proper din, tefach, yalos libo, whatever it might be, that's the Ritz Gias. Not everyone agrees. In the Chidah here, in the Birkei Yosef, the Shiur Bracha, which is like parts he added later, he passing against the Ritz Gias. I don't have it with me here. But you don't have one at the bottom there, do you? I don't think you have the Chidah, right? No.
Maybe it's in the back.
No, I don't think so. I think there's too much Ashkenazification of the Shulchan Aruch. But what does the Ritz Gias say? Says the Ritz Gias, he says, no, Chayav Midin Chinuch. And what's the Nafkamina? Rabbi Kiva Eger here quotes from the Prisha that this is Kriya Ktsas, and this is Kriya Kedin, a Tefach, or what have you, depending on what relative it was. And we paskin, like the Ritz Gias, that if the Kotam was Higia Lechinuch, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything, but we paskin, like the Ritz Gias, that if the Kotam was Higia Lechinuch, then there's a Chiyuv Gomor, Mishom Chinuch, and that's quoted in the Taz, Sivkat and Tes Vav.
Would that also apply in terms of having to tear many years on if somebody was already Gil Chinuch?
Maybe. Nah, it's an interesting question. I'm not sure. Like, does Chinuch include, if you miss it, I'm not sure. It's a good question. The Shach is not so clear, but the Taz passed like him, and the, yeah.
Why is that a Chiddush?
What a Chiddush? Like the chinuch?
Yeah.
Great question. So let's come back to that. That is because of what the Taz says. What does the Taz say here? Says the Taz, B'tor kasam the agnes nefesh, particularly the harbos behesped, right? So that other people, not agnes nefesh, the katan, maybe other people will have more hesped. Kasam ritzkiyas, v'katan shigil chinuch, korlo v'der shemachan koso v'shar mitzvos. Even though it's nefesh, let's say there's no funeral, it's private, he's on a desert island, whatever. Drisha says, from here we see there's chinuch for avelos. After all, there's chinuch for kriya, there's chinuch for avelos. Again, this might tie into that chakira a little, right? He's equating. Venerally, da'afim shmu akra, etc. Says the Nekudas HaKasef here. The Shach was not explicit enough. He says, look, later on, he didn't say what he meant, so he had to go back to Nekudas HaKasef and say what he meant. Lofin is Nike to Davka Bikriya Amin and Hachi, the cause of Russia, Pinka El Galchon, Achlokas, Rabbin, my Ramas. Why? The cause of Russia, Pinka El Galchon, Achlokas, Rabbin, my Ramas, for us, and Nasabin, you'd give a shun of Toch, Shimmy Avails, Tarklinuk, Shimmy Avails, Hamad, or the Kotam, Shita, the Tarklinuk Avails, Rimash, and Tor Machaber. Says the whole Simon Shin Sadi Vav is talking about a fascinating, wondrous case. We hope it doesn't happen. It's fascinating, wondrous. A kid was 12 years and 11 months and 27 days old. A boy, or for a girl, 11 years, etc. And their relative died. And they turned bar mitzvah in the middle of Shiva. Do they now have to keep Shiva when they turn bar mitzvah? Machlokas. Rosh and Maharam. But no one said they were already sitting Shiva anyway. Why not say they were already sitting Shiva anyway when they did Chinuch? The only question is, do they have to start sitting Shiva when they turn bar mitzvah? Like on day four of Shiva, do they start when they turn bar mitzvah? But the assumption is they weren't sitting Shiva until then, so it's possible that there is no. And he was, what do you mean? He was mamash almost 13 years old. Clearly he yield chinuch. So the assumption is, so that is a fundamental machlokes. What about avelos? Says the Taz, there is a chi of chinuch just like kriya. Again, assuming like the Ritzkiyas, and says the shachli kruse kesef, there's no chi of chinuch. There might be chi of chinuch for Kriya, meaning there is, he seems to agree there's a Chiyuv Chinuch for Kriya, but not for Avelos. And I think, you know, this might also, again, maybe it's more technical, might tie into this also, right? What about a Katan Shehegiyah L'Chinuch? If you say they're fundamentally the same, then maybe you'll say like the Taz, or like the Birkei Yosef, say Potter from both, either Potter from both or Chayiv in both. If you're going to say that they're separate, just because there's chinuch for one doesn't mean there's chinuch for another. And we talk a paskin like this, there's no chinuch for avelos. And then that becomes an interesting question. Yes, Michal?
What's the rationale for the
Shabbos? What's the rationale? Why is no chinuch for avelos? After all, do we ever hear of any mitzvah there's no chinuch for? There's chinuch for all the mitzvahs. Why should avelos be different?
We're making with avelos now.
Yeah, we paskin like a more makeable. Why is there no chinuch? So, anyone want to tell me a theory? There's one theory on the page in the Pesach Tshuva. No, because what if their father's still alive and another relative dies? The father's still chayv being mechayev, so that's not going to be the answer. Maybe not. Anyone know what the Dogma Rava says, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva? Ah, exactly. Chinuch is part of Talmud Torah. Part of learning Torah is learning how to do the mitzvahs. Every other mitzvah you can do and learn Torah. But in Shiva, for 7 days, they can't go to Cheder and learn Torah. So therefore, the chinuch of Torah is more important than the chinuch of Avelos, and that's why there's no chinuch for something that goes against Talmud Torah. Big chiddush. Dago Mirvava says because of bittul Talmud Torah, meaning the technical reason. Because of bittul Talmud Torah. Anyone think of another practical or fundamental or any kind of reason? The Achronah have tons of reasons for this. Because the Shach doesn't give his reason. Right? The Shach doesn't say, I have a svara. He says, I have a diuk for the Machlokas Rosh and Maharam in Rutenberg. He didn't say, I thought of this. He says, I know it's true because there's other Machlokas and I'm going to dive something from it. What's the svara? The Shach doesn't bother to explain. So Dagmar Rav says, Bittul Talmud Torah. That's one possibility. Anyone have another possibility?
Sorry, how can, isn't he not allowed to learn Torah there in Shiva?
It's a katan. If we were mechayev him in avelus mishum chinuch, he wouldn't be allowed to learn Torah. So it's better to teach him Torah than to do chinuch for avelus. Midaraisi is pater for mitzvos. Midarabanan, the rabbanan choose to impose a chinuch on him like shofar and lulav and sukkah. But shofar and lulav and sukkah don't stop him from learning Torah.
I mean,
they don't want to impose a chinuch when it'll stop him from learning Torah.
Why can't you enforce?
Because it's more important for kids to learn Torah than to practice doing mitzvahs. That's the point.
Why can't you say you send him to cheder because he's sitting on a little chair?
Because in Karaskar. Meaning the rabbanan chose that it's more important for a kid to learn Torah than for a kid to learn mitzvahs. It's yeshivish.
Should he be hostaking Talmud Torah Avelos at the...
No, because they think once you already say that, if he's not going to cheder, he's not going to learn. You tell a kid, oh, go be osik, whatever. If he's not a cheder, he's not going to learn. If the Rebbe doesn't have a stick, he's not going to learn.
sure about getting a formula because it's only like really being a status, not a field. Like you don't have to pretend that something's a status for somebody who doesn't have a status. When people are in the status,
that's interesting. Maybe the chiyuv chinuch is not for statuses, only for chiyuvim that are chal on everyone. That's interesting. Okay, I hear.
Maybe because now the chiyuv will be on the parent, but the parent's an avelus, so the parent can't be mechanic the child.
First of all, lav dafka the parent's an avelus. Who says the parent's an avelus?
Maybe the parent isn't.
Maybe his maternal half brother passed away, and his father's not an avelus. And even the father isn't an avelus. Why? I mean, it's very easy for the father to be mechanic if the father's an avelus with him. They just sit together.
No,
avel's not potter for mitzvos. Only no name is. So I'll tell you some other shitas from the Achronim. The Ksav Sofer gives a very practical shita. He says there's no chiyuv chinuch for things that aren't common. Sukkah happens every year. Hopefully very, very rarely. You have to practice something that happens commonly. Something that happens rarely, you don't have to practice. He better practice this because... No, hopefully for 30 years he won't do it again. So now he's going to practice for 30 years. It's not like something annual or daily. So that's like Ksav Sofer gives a very technical reason. Ksav Sofer, because it is uncommon. And chinuch is only for common things. It's practice. You don't practice uncommon things. You practice common things.
Is that true?
What?
Is that true? Like, I don't know. I remember when Birchas Hashanah came around, we spent like 5 days learning about it. So according to this Ksav Sofer, maybe we should have just... spent like half an hour doing it and not wasting
maybe money. You shouldn't have done it at all if you were a katan. And a konami, but they didn't ask the Ksav Sofer.
Isn't the frequency of speaking from like how we do it nowadays? According to the Shulchan Aruch, there's like tons of times that we'll be doing it. So good people you be doing it for, your bad news.
No, you're talking about Velos, not Kriya. Okay, I'll tell you another technical shot from the Gedulei Tara, which is one of the papers showing the Ritzkiyas. He says there's no chinuch. Lipuranos. He said, you don't want to train it for bad things. Hey, tell the kid, practice sukkah. We want you to grow up and sit in the sukkah. We want you to grow up and we're tefillin. We don't want you to grow up and sit shiva. Who knows what'll happen, but you don't practice for bad things. In Judaism, we try to altif the pelasatan. What?
We want you to sit shiva.
If it happens, but we don't want it to happen, and therefore... Come on, if anyone here has a European great-grandmother, she would for sure tell you, what are you kidding? What? You want him to practice? That'll make his relatives die when he grows up. You should shut your mouth. So maybe she's right. The answer is, that's a great question. There's actually a big machlokas whether there's chinuch for Tisha B'Av or not. We pass there is chinuch for Tisha B'Av. The answer is, because Tisha B'Av is not a piranus that happens every year. It's a piranus that happens a long time ago, so it's not like saying something bad will happen. Something bad already happened. Now you might say, oh, but it's so bad that something just not rebuilt every year. The answer is fine. Maybe if we were really sensitive and felt like a tragedy happened when every year the Beis HaMikdash just wasn't rebuilt, then that would be a good kasha. But you're not in that madriga. Let me just point out another technical pshat. The Chochmas Adam says that tsar, there's no chinuch or something that is tsar. Therefore, it's avelus. It's tsar. I mean, it's difficult. He has to be uncomfortable. It's just like a kula. They didn't say to me, mechanech a kid after all in Yom Kippur, right? I mean, it's a big machlokes, but if we're in many postgame, we're not mechanech a kid for Yom Kippur too early. It's no chinuch for something that's not because of piranus, but it's something that's physically painful, right? Since it's physically painful, therefore, meaning the physical tsar, I'm not talking about existential. The whole point of chinuch is he should be uncomfortable. Nah, they weren't goes there to make kids uncomfortable. That the kid should have to walk around barefoot, and that the kid should have to, not bathe. And they weren't goes there to make a kid have to suffer. Okay, they were, we're not too much on kids. Okay, what's maybe a little more mitbakesh, and then I'll take questions, is there's Beis Hillel a little later. He's on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch or in the Old Sefer Farshim, wherever they put him on your page, who says maybe it's that existentially avelus not shaykh to a kid. I think this certainly can make sense. And by the way, here you see the difference in Kriya. Kriya is not Bittul Talmud Torah. The Ksav Sofer would say, well, Kriya is a little more common because after all, you go to the Kotel, you tear Kriya, etc. Puranas is a little trickier, you know. I'm not sure what if the Gedulei Torah would agree with the Arach Pura. I mean, he would. You know, he'd have to say that maybe Kriya, since a Kriya is even when you go to the Kotel, it's not necessarily for Puranas. The Chassadim would say Kriya doesn't hurt. Doesn't make you physically uncomfortable. Maybe because they had different shot. The Rav, as is well known, what was the Rav's most famous thing he ever said about Avelis?
Kim Shabalev.
Kim Shabalev, right, that even though you do certain mysim or refrain from certain mysim for Avelis, the Iker Kim Avelis is the Avelis Belev. It could be when there's a Kim Belev, a kid is not on the is not sort of in the existential place to really feel that, even if he's Gilachinoch until he's a Bar Das. So, and that might be different from Kriya. Kriya is not a Kim Belev. Kriya is just a Maisa Kriya. You do a Maisa Kriya, you don't need a Kim Belev. But Avelis, and maybe that's would explain the Shita, that they're fundamentally conceptually different. Maybe one is a Kiyam Belev and one is a Kiyam B'maisa. Or one is creating feelings, one is expressing feelings, if you want to take a different approach. But anyway, L'maisa, you might say that the reason Zohina for Avelos is because it is something a little deeper and more philosophical, Kiyam Belev. Therefore, if someone doesn't have Das, then we can't expect them to fully appreciate in their lave. The Beis Hillel says something slightly different, he says, but I think this is going a little far. He says, the Iker Kima of Avelos is tshuva, is that it makes you think of your own mortality and how to improve your life. And therefore, it's the katan, like it's not chayv in mitzvah, so it's not chayv to do tshuva, it doesn't apply to him. I'm just a little reluctant to accept that the Iker Kima Velos is not being sad for the person who died, but is your own tshuva. At Lamaisa, what you can say is, if you want to say something a little more fundamental, you could say, like the Beis Hillel, that the Iker Kima Velos is tshuva, or even, I'll pee the rub, you know, the Iker Kiyum Avelos is Belev, and perhaps that Kiyum Belev is something which until you're a Bar Das, you're not really capable of fully realizing. Even if you're a Bar Chinuch, you can know how to do what we tell you, you still can't know how to appreciate things deeply in your lave. So you could have a more sort of philosophical explanation, as it were, of why kids are putter, not just, you know, you don't want, you don't want to practice for bad things, or you don't want to be too mean to the kid, or it's not common, or you don't want to keep him out of cheder because it's more important to have chinuch of learning than chinuch of mitzvos. But maybe there's something philosophical about avelos, unlike kriya, which means that until you're mamash bar das, you're not shaykh to chinuch for it, because you don't really have the same depth of thought, and avelos requires a certain depth of thought for the full kiyum. Okay, I'll leave the rest to your continuing the train of thought.
So is that also by the dominant? Like the child can't understand what means to stand for
a... It's a good question, which is, if you take this too far, you know, would you say any kiyum belev there's ochina for, which is clearly not true. Unless you say there are different types of kiyum belev, and the kiyum belev of avelos is perhaps more existentially difficult to grasp than the kiyum belev of tefillah. But I'll leave that for your thought process. And let's do a few more halachos. There's a few technical halachos here now. If someone does kriya on Shabbos, then they're yotze, even though they're mechal Shabbos. But if someone steals a shirt and tears it, you tear someone else's shirt without permission, lo yotze de kriya. Why? If they're both isurim, chorchil Shabbos is a worse isur than ripping someone's shirt without permission. So why in one case were you yotze, in one case weren't you? Exactly. This is a lundish. You have to be a brisker to understand this Shulchan Aruch. It's before Shin Yushalmi. Why? Because it's mitzvah of avera is only if the chefta itself is an avera. When it comes to a stolen shirt, this chefta of avera is the shirt. When it comes to Shabbos, the chefta of avera is your mechal Shabbos. But there's no chefta shal iser in the shirt. The Isser of Shabbos is because it's Shabbos for you, not because of the shirt. The Isser of Gzela is because of the shirt. And this alumnus, the mitzvah of Avera, only makes you not Yotze. You should never do an Avera. But it's only Ma'akiv, the mitzvah, if the Isser was in the Chefza of the mitzvah, like Gezel and Kriya, not if the Isser is just in the Gavra, like Shabbos. Lamed, Katan, Dilo Kimlan Beishikol Ochadashav, a baby who we're not 100% sure is full term, Full term means mamish full term, like 9 full months. Shemes tov shloshim, who dies within 30 days. The assumption is, the chazak is that he's not alive until we prove he's alive. So if we know he's born at 9 months, he's alive. If we don't know, then the chazak is that he's not alive until we prove him, and it's only proving he's alive if he lasts 30 days, because otherwise maybe he wasn't viable. And that's the general rule, that a nefel lo aleinu is only considered a person if either we prove he's full term. It's hard to prove he's full term. The achronim say only if we know there's no bia between the parents for the last 9 months. Otherwise, how do we know he's full term? How do we know exactly when she conceived? So it's a little hard to know he's full term. Only if we know he's full term, or if he lives 30 days. Afilu b'yom ha'shloshim inkarnu lav. What if he dies on day 30? Right, like which side is day 30? Right. He's born on the 1st of January and he dies on the 30th of January. Or we should use Jewish months. He's born on the 1st of Nisan, he dies on the 30th of Nisan. Is that counts as a real person or not? That is actually a suffix all over the Gemara, and it's a machlokas rishonim. And Beit Yosef explains, it depends whether kriya is a din d'oraisa d'rabbanan. If kriya is a din d'oraisa, we have to be machmir, suffix d'oraisa l'chomer. If kriya is d'rabbanan, we have to be mikol, suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. It's mamash a 50-50 suffix. Here we paskin in a sif lamed, is where we paskin that kriya is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And therefore, since the Gemara has an unresolved suffix about day 30, we are Mekel, and there's no Kriya. There's also no Avelos, because Avelos is also Darabanan. That's what the Taz explains here, because suffix Darabanan le Kula. Okay, there is, let us leave that for now. Lamed Aleph. Ein Karim B'yom, yeah.
Two questions. One, why are you talking about full term if it's not when the baby's already born?
If what?
Why is there a question of the full term when the baby's already born?
Because if a baby's born full term and then dies, although Elena, we know he was properly alive and then coincidentally died. But if a baby's born less than prematurely, even one day prematurely, and then dies right afterwards, we say it's not coincidence that he died. He died because he just didn't have enough life when he was born, and therefore it says if he was stillborn and never born. Basically, a baby who's born prematurely and dies within 30 days is as if he was stillborn and is never considered to have been alive in halacha.
Does this affect halachas elsewhere?
Yes, all over the place. Yes. What? Like Yibam, like Yerusha, like, I'm sure you can think of a lot of other things. Tanai. Anyway, but that's something. The Yerusha would be a great example, right? Right? Does he? What if a baby's born, then 10 days later his mother dies, and then 10 days later he dies, and he has half brothers from his father's side? Do we say he inherited his mother, and then his brothers from his father's side inherit him? Or no one inherited his mother, and it goes to his mother's siblings.
So why is it 30 days relevant? That's the question about baby's full term.
No, because even if the baby's a preemie, if he lasts 30 days, if like Milson, he was a preemie, but was good enough.
But if he was born regularly, then even if not 30 days,
it's... Correct, exactly. Oh. Exactly. If he was born full term, it doesn't matter what happens, he's considered a living full person. If he was born preemie, then we don't know if he was really born or not till 30 days past the Gloy Milson Afreya, whether he was really destined to live or not.
Full term is 9 months from
conception.
From the miscarriage, like from the mikvah night?
Well, from 9 months from conception. We don't know when conception was. So the only hefi timsa where we know he was full term wouldn't be if the doctor says, it's this many weeks. Because that's just a guess. They don't have like a scientific test.
They're just saying the mikvah night.
It would basically be, or from the last year. Right? The only time you'd know that the baby was full term is if the mother and father hadn't slept together for the last 9 months. So if they slept together 9 months ago and 8.5 months ago, maybe he was conceived 8.5 months ago. How do you know? Right? So it would have to be that the mother and father slept together, then he went away on a business trip and came back 9 months later. Okay, with modern science, maybe we'd say he came back 5 months later and slept with her, then we obviously know she didn't get conceived then. And it was, but I'm saying, like, he would have to sleep with her, go away for a while, and then come home and discover she's pregnant. Then he knows when there is a terminal.
It's a different calculation for miscarriages from what I remember from last month, from me, though. For miscarriages, it was mikvah night. We didn't say if there was a later bia after mikvah night, we would have had that bia.
No, because they were trying to prove how short it was. You were trying to prove how long it was. It's just the logic. It's all logic. If you're trying to prove how short it was, then you need to prove what was the earliest he could have conceived. Right? It's just logical.
Does this also apply in modern medicine? Does that change any of the factors? Or
I don't think so, because even in modern medicine, no one knows exactly how.
I meant for the 30-day factor. Like,
no.
We say that. We just say all times, of course. In
yeah,
days.
No, the Gemara says, what if a lion ate him when he was 29 days old? The Gemara already knows that case. It says, nonetheless, since the Chazaka is that he's not a full person until he proves that he is, he's still not considered, right? There's still no availus. There's still
so
no
modern reality can't change Chazakas.
No, I mean, modern reality is not going to be any more significant than the old reality. We don't have any kiddushim in modern reality. The big issue in modern reality, which I'm not going to go to now, is what if a baby is preemie and lives more than 30 days in an incubator and then dies? All lo aleinu. Then do we say, well, if he lived more than 30 days, so he's really considered a bar kayama, a real baby, a real person? Or no, he didn't really live 30 days. He was just artificially in an incubator, but really he never made it to viability. That's a big machlokes in the poskim nowadays. And I think Lamaisa, we would say, not to tear, you don't have to tear Korean said Shiva if the baby was born preemie and then kept in the incubator for 3 months but wasn't really viable the whole time. That even though technically it was more than 30 days, that was a fake 30 days. So it was in an incubator. It wasn't in, you know, in real life conditions. And then I think most poskim would say there's no Shiva, but it gets very complicated. How to draw the line gets complicated. We're not going to poskim those shilas now. Okay. Lamed Aleph. Ein karim v'yomtev. I'm feeling under shemesh shogolius. Kriya is not doched the isra malacha on yomtev. Even the isra malacha on yomtev shemesh shogolius. I feel krovim shavais. Even krovim. Why? Because in general, no mitzvah is doched. Mitzvahs are not doched the isra malacha on yomtev. Vav cholamoid. What are cholamoid? Cholamoid is the isra malacha is not a problem. It's something necessary for that day. In cholamoid, there's no question of the isra malacha. What's the only din of cholamoid that might make kriya halachically radical? Not because of malacha, but because of simcha. There's simcha in cholamoid. So is kriyas for sure not docha malacha on Shabbos and Yantif? Is it docha simcha on cholamoid? So the pshat, the mishnah Mekutin says only krovim tir. And then the Gemara says, or if you're there, Rosh Hashanah sees the Shabbos, or if he's an adam kasher. Shot is that all kriyas are dochet simchas cholamoid. Nach the machaber cholamoid korin al kol echad kafi mashu im ome b'shasas yis neshama umadim kosher or chacham kol echad dinu shbar. All the laws of kriya for all the people that we don't do nowadays, but if we would do them, they would all apply on cholamoid. Hagah the yesh omen is a radical shitas yachid of the ravya. What's the radical shitas yachid of the ravya? The ravya says even though this whole sugya is in moed katan in the middle of the paragraph of cholamoid. It's really not talking about cholamoid. It's talking about a weekday. On cholamoid, there's never a kriya. That's the radical sheet of the Rav Yah. And says the Trumas Hadeshen, he says, we'll compromise with the Rav Yah. What's the compromise? V'ish omrim de nogin she'en l'kro b'cholamoid rakol aviv v'imo. V'al shar mesim korin l'achar amoid. What did the Rav Yah say? The Trumas Hadeshen says compromise. For parents, which is more chamer, will tear on cholamoid. For other relatives, and kolshkin strangers, we won't. So basically, we have three shitas. Says Rov Rishonen and the Mechaber. I assume this is what Sfardim do. Korin Becholamoid. Says the Rav Yah, which is a big chiddush because the Gemara is in Moed Katan. It's a Mishnah, like in the middle of the halachas of Cholamoid. Also, everybody says, that's on our weekdays. That's not on the Cholamoid. Cholamoid, everything's usher. Nope. Ain Korin Becholamoid. And says the Trumas Hadeshen as a pshara of the emo korin shar krovin ein korin. And what does the Ramah say? B'makom shein minag yish l'kral kulam. Where there's a minag. Nowadays, for sure, the minag is not to turn strangers to a cholamoid. The minag is not to turn strangers even on regular days, right? But the says the Ramah, where the minag is like the Trumas Hadeshen, follow the Trumas Hadeshen. No place has the minag in the Rav Yah. But where there's no minhag, you should go back to the Rov Rishonen and tear on all relatives. Okay, what does that mean? What's our minhag? What's our minhag? So the Shach says that there's difference between Ashkenazim and Ashkenazim. What are the two things we can mean by Ashkenazim?
Eastern.
We can mean Yekas, actual Germans, or we can mean, you know, Ashkenazim as opposed to Sephardim, and 90% of Ashkenazim are Eastern Europeans, right? What they used to call Polish, or nowadays we would call Polish and Russian. So says the Shach, it depends if you're Yekish or Eastern European, right? Most of us are Eastern European. We don't keep Yekish menhagim. Any Yekas here?
There's
someone. Eitagidali cats, right? Chutz mizeh. So says the Shach in Sifkata Menvav, quoting Mas Binyamin, in Poland, which includes Russia, which means anyone who's not a Yekka. If you're not a Yekka, then you tear on all Krovim during Chol Hamoed, but Yekkas only tear for parents. Okay, what's the minhag nowadays? The minhag nowadays is that, what's our minhag? Is that, Sephardim, of course, tear for everyone, and Eastern Europeans tear for everyone, but, right, Germans, Yekkas, only tear for Abba V'Imo. They have the menu that chose the Deshen, who was in Germany, but Eastern Europeans are Makom She'ein Minhag, and we tear for everyone, except Minhag Yerushalayim. The Geshur HaChaim writes that Minhag Yerushalayim is, even though Minhag Yerushalayim was certainly not founded by Yekkas, nonetheless, Minhag Yerushalayim was, among Ashkenazim, was founded by the Gra. Even though Minhag Yerushalayim is not generally Yekkish, in this case, Minhag Yerushalayim is like the Yekkas, and they only tear for Abba V'Imo. So places that follow Minhag Yerushalayim or Yekkas only tear for Abba V'Imo and Chol Hamoed, but most Ashkenazim and all Sephardim tear for all Krovim and Chol Hamoed. But for sure, we don't, we should, the things that, like, non-relatives.
Do you Yerushalayim?
What?
Do you Yerushalayim?
What does Sephardim do in Yerushalayim? I'm not sure. Most places that talk about Minhag Yerushalayim.
Ashkenazim do.
No, in Yerushalayim, they only tear for parents. And Yekkas everywhere only tear for parents. But Sephardim and Eastern Europeans and the rest of the world tear for everyone.
What about people who come from abroad to bury somebody during Chol Hamoed?
Then what do they do? That's a great question. My guess is they should follow Minhag Yerushalayim because you shouldn't deviate publicly from Minhag HaMakom, and this is very public. So I bet the Chevron Kadish would tell the kids to tear and the other relatives not to tear.
Is there a difference between...
By the way, just one, they have to tear after Yontif. Not like they never tear. When they start shiva after Yontif, they tear then.
Can you tear, let's say, I don't know, you go to Haifa afterwards. Can you tear when you get to Haifa?
I guess so, but I don't know if that happens to everyone.
Is there a difference how one should do it? On Chol Hamoed versus not, I mean, should one do more bits
and No. And actually, I take back what I said to Zach. No, once it's already not the Shas Chimam, it's after the funeral, then we'll see that everyone agrees that at that point you might as well wait till after Yontif. Like, once it's already not the critical moment, then there's no point tearing on Chol Hamoed. Yeah.
Maybe a little quick. What does Minhag Yerushalayim mean? Like, there's a lot of people here.
It's a great question.
Like, there's more than one shul.
That's already is almost a political question.
Okay.
What does Minhag Yerushalayim mean is super duper controversial. There are some things that are Minhag Yerushalayim because, well, actually, there are some things that someone will say this is Minhag Yerushalayim and is only Minhag of a very, very small minority of Yerushalayim who think they have the right to tell everyone what to do because they were here first, maybe. And then there's some things that Minhag Yerushalayim is mamish, everyone in Yerushalayim does it. Except for like a bunch of ignoramuses who just, you know, didn't get the update. And there are probably some in-betweens. I think this is a Minhag Yerushalayim that's everyone. Now, the question is, what does Minhag Yerushalayim mean if you are in other cities in Eretz Yisrael? It's a little tricky. Basically, there are some cities in Eretz Yisrael where the Chevron Kadisha follows Minhag Yerushalayim, some cities where the Chevron Kadisha doesn't follow Minhag Yerushalayim, and Lachor, it depends on that. Which are near Yerushalayim. I mean, in Haifa, they don't follow Minhag Yerushalayim. Be'er Sheva, they don't follow Minhag Yerushalayim. But if in the Yerushalayim area, you know, within 20 miles, some places follow Minhag Yerushalayim, some places don't. You could tell. If you go to a funeral, you'll see the guy from the Chevron Kadisha will say, we treated you in accordance with Minhag Yerushalayim if you go to Beit Shemesh. And other places, they'll just say, we treated you according to the Minhag HaMakom or whatever exactly they say. So, Lachor would depend on that. Again, if you're not sure, then probably like the Rama, better off following all Rishonim against the Rav Yehuda and the Truma Sedeshin if someone's not sure what the Minhag is. Okay, hopefully, lo aleinu. Let's get into some details. Lamed Beis. Shoma v'regel shmo krova korea. Vafila im achara regel tiya rechoka. Someone heard shmo krova during the regel. Remember, what does shmo krova mean? Within
30 days.
And after the regel, it becomes rechoka. Meaning, by the time the regel ends, it'll be 30 days. It's a funny case. After the regel, there won't be shiva, because it'll already be more than 30 days. There won't be shiva, it'll already be more than 30 days. I mean, there'll be a minute of shiva. But now it's Shmuel Krova, then they should tear during the regel. Right? Remember, let's say it's a different relative. Another relative, you tear within 30 days, you tear. If not, you don't. By the time the event will be after 30 days, now it's within 30 days, you go by now and you tear within 30 days. Here is, let me just mention two caveats by the Achronim. Okay, there's a lot of lumdas here, but we won't go into all of it. Let me mention two caveats by the Achronim, and then we will three caveats maybe by the Achronim, and then we will run through the rest of the rest of the simon, which is a little bit of tangents. One second, three caveats by the Achronim. Let's just review. What about a classic funeral on Chol Hamoed? There are two different minhagim. What are the two different minhagim? In this case, let's call this Trumas Hadeshen versus Mechaber, right? No Kriya for Shar Krovim. And the Mechaber says Kriya, right? That's a funeral Chol Hamoed. What if you have a Shmua Krova on Chol Hamoed? That'll become Rechoka later. Shmua Krova that will become Rechoka later. So what if you have Shmua Krova that will become Rechoka after the regel? Then say the Shachar Natan, everyone agrees there's a tear in Chol Hamoed. Because if you wait till after Yontem, it'll be too late. So then everyone agrees that you shouldn't be relying on the Shmuz Hadeshen when you miss the mitzvah entirely. So, now, I don't know if the Shmuz Hadeshen itself would say, but let's call this Minag Shmuz Hadeshen and the Minag Mechaber. Everyone agrees you should do Kriya on Chol Hamoed. Why? Because otherwise you'll never do it. What's another case? Also in the Shach and the Taz, discuss another case. What about Shmua Rechoka the Chol Hamoed? What if you hear Shmua Rechoka on Chol Hamoed? Or what if you hear a Shmua, what if you hear a Shmua Rechoka on Chol Hamoed? So, one second, hear Shmua Rechoka on Chol Hamoed, then everyone agrees you should wait for parents. You only tear for parents and Shmua Rechoka for parents. Then even if you follow the Mechaber, says the Shach and the Taz, the Shach in Mem Zayin and the Taz in Yud Ches, says the Shach, Vafilu, etc. Aval Hechad, the Kosmar Shal, Hechad Shmua Shmua Rechoka, Eino Korea Beregula Filo of the Imo Ad Kam Moshon Bach, that you... there's no Kriya on Chol Hamoed, then you might as well wait. Why? Because if it's so long already, then you might as well wait. What's another interesting question, though? And this is a little bit controversial. Not everyone agrees with this, by the way. The Gilyan Marsha quotes the people who disagree with it, but we paskin this way. The Piskei Tshuvin Yud Aleph, the Piskei Tshuvin Yud Gimel says about this. Give me a second. The Jewish Marit disagrees, but we paskin like this. This is Machlokes. But we paskin Machlokes. See the Pesach Shuvah Gimel, but we paskin. We paskin no Kriya. The last interesting case in the Pesach Shuvah of Kodim Yud Aleph and Rabbi Kiva Eger here, he says, what if the burial was on Yontif. Nowadays, our meaning is not very Yontif so much. In the old days, anyone remember the rules of burying on Yontif? What's the difference between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni?
Yeah,
get a goy?
Yeah.
On Yom Tov Rishon, you can get a goy. On Shabbos, you can't even get a goy berry. On Yom Tov Rishon, you get a goy berry.
On Yom Tov Sheni, you get Jews.
On Yom Tov Sheni, even Jews can berry. It's Doch HaMalacha on Yom Tov Sheni. Kriya is not, but burial is. Okay, nowadays, we're in most places are not knowing to bury Yom Tov Sheni, because since we have refrigerated morgues, it's not such a pressure, so we don't want to be doping Yom Tov Sheni. Only a few communities still have the minhag to bury Yom Tov Sheni. Most of us don't, because we have refrigeration, and we don't really feel such a pressure.
Isn't like a Jewish thing to even bury Yom Tov Sheni?
Yes, the Satmers, it was in the New York Times a few years ago, the Rebbe's granddaughter or something died, and they buried Yom Tov Sheni, and it made all the news, because they were hollering Yom Tov Sheni for the burial, etc. I mean, only for the actual burial. It's not like you can drive to the funeral to attend. But the guys who actually dig, even on the day of Yisrael. Yes, but most people don't. Most do. Some Hasidim do. Most people don't. Anyway, what he discusses here is, what if you have a Kvura B'yantif? What's unique about Kvura B'yantif is that by the time Chol HaMoed comes around, it's not a critical moment. It's not a Shas Chimum. It's not when they heard the news. And it's not when they buried. And it's not when they died. It's just later. So in that case, says the Pesachei Tshuva Yud Aleph, everyone agrees there's no Kriya because not a Shas Chimam. Right? What's unique about this case? What's unique about this case is because it's not Shas Chimam. Here, what's unique about this case is because it's Rechoka. Here's what's unique about this case because otherwise you would lose the mitzvah entirely. These are three cases when all menhagim would agree what to do on Chol HaMoed. But in the Stam case of a burial on Chol HaMoed or a Shemua Krova on Chol HaMoed Stam, that would still be Krova after the Regel, then that would be a Machlokes. Okay, let's run through we don't have time to get into the details of the rest of the Siman, but let's just see briefly the rest of the Siman. Lamed Gimel, hopefully you have no Havamina, this is okay. Someone has previously, someone accidentally tore their shirt. They say, let me wear it to the funeral, and everyone will think I tore from the mace. Then they're stealing from the mace, the covenant mace, and they're stealing from the live people by tricking them.
Why?
Some people are really
cheap. Why?
Some people are really cheap.
Because they're tricking them.
That's great. The whole point of
tearing
in public is everyone knows that you're
sad now. No, but it's Gnevis Das. Let's say this person's kids say, whoa, I tore for Rabbi Bednar's tore for my father's funeral. We really owe him one, etc. That's classic Gnevis Das. Lamadal. Ha'omer l'chamir ha'shilin l'chalukah shavakers abba shulchol v'holach v'tzo shemes koro u'ma'achiyu ma'achshil l'chalukah u'ma'ashan l'obin koro v'yimlo d'yoriz alo yikavo. Someone borrows a shirt and goes to visit their father and their father dies, if they didn't say anything, they just stomp, borrowed a shirt, they have no right to tear, because that would be gezelt. They don't have permission. But they said, let me visit my father who's in the hospital, very sick. And then the guy knows that they might have to tear. So the umdana is that if the guy said yes, but don't tear it, or yes, but do tear it, then we know. Let's say in a stomp, the stomp umdana is in between. He lets you tear the shirt, but he doesn't let you keep it torn forever. Then you go back and do ichoy. It's in between. Oh, you're not allowed to do ichoy if a parent dies? Yes, but over here, he only let you tear temporarily, and therefore, when you tore it originally to avoid gezel, you only tore it temporarily, and you're allowed to do ichoy. Of course, it's still worth less money after kriya and ichoy, so you have to pay him the difference. Lamed hey. Hamashalach v'yirchalach le'elchol beis ha'avel, and rashad yitum eno shi'av yimei ha'avel, v'chosha mishpat, etc. If I borrow, a guy has no nice clothing. He says, I have to go to a shiva house. I'm embarrassed to go in this clothing. I'm embarrassed to go without a suit to the shiva house. Can I borrow a suit? And you lend him the suit. Then you can't take it back from him for 7 days, because in those days, the friends would visit all 7 days. And therefore, the assumption is you give it to him for 7 days. Okay, there's a stira between this and chosha mishpat. Either really is not a stira. The Baragola and the Sma there say that's what he meant, the chosha mishpat. Also, or the shach says, no. If the guy asks you to borrow it, then it's only for one trip. But if you offer to lend it to him, then you mean for 7 days.
If I tell the friend that my father is sick or whatever, then shouldn't he be under the impression that he knows the father? That he won't be able to fix ever?
No, because the assumption is that what he meant was, fine, take it, but you better fix it. Meaning, why? Because it's not that he's concerned for halacha. It's not his job to make sure I do my halacha. He's just concerned for my social reputation. And he says to himself, Yankel's borrowing my shirt to visit his father who's dying. If Yankel doesn't rip his shirt, it's a shanda and an embarrassment, so I let him rip the shirt. But if he rips the shirt and sews it up again properly with ichoy later, he's not embarrassed. I don't have to make him keep all the halachas. I just have to keep him being embarrassed. That's what the guy has in mind.
Nowadays, when the medical illness is not terrible, the funeral, you can't ever tear somebody else.
Correct. Correct. But it'd be interesting. If I say, can I borrow your shirt to go to the kotel, that means you let me tear it. Okay, don't get me started on people who are perfectly happy and content with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and therefore when they go to the kotel, they say, can I borrow someone else's shirt and don't give me permission to tear it so I won't have to tear it. You know, that's what people do. They say, I'm going to the kotel, I don't want to tear, can I borrow your shirt? And you don't let me tear it. And then I'll be punished from tearing at the kotel. So whether or not that technically works, it clearly shows that this person doesn't want to be broa b'simchasa in the time of the geula. So I wouldn't recommend it. Okay, lamed vav, korin al. Now the rest is about other kriyas. We'll just go through it. There's a lot of details. They don't come up a ton, so we'll just read through it. Korin al shmuls ros. Lo alenu, bad news. Really bad news. Kigon shenikvatu rov tzibur l'melchama v'shamash enagv l'yveyam afilo nargu elu miyat bahet mehem v'udin hocha v'shevi. Like the story when David tore, when he heard about the defeat by the Plishtim in the sort of end of Shmuel Aleph slash beginning of Shmuel Bet. And that was a case that was even worse than October 7th. Most of the Jews were together and they lost the battle. Even if only minority of them got killed or were captured, since most of the Jews were in battle together and lost, then that's Shmuel's Ros, and you tear Kriya. Hopefully we won't have anything like that. Lamed Zayin. Hashemim birkas Hashem afilu birkas akinoi. If someone hears a cursing of God, even if they only use a kinoi, not the Yud Kei Vav Kei name of Hashem, then they have to tear Kriya. There's an interesting discussion here in the Badei Shulchan and the Biurim. He says, we learned this from Chizkiah when Rav Shakeh says, ah, who the heck is your God? Come on, if the gods of the Canaanim couldn't save them from my master, the king of Assyria, and the gods of the Ammonim couldn't save them, then come on, your little Israelite God is not any better than them, and don't you know that my king is much more powerful? And those are words of blasphemy, and they tore Kriya. So the Badei Shulchan has an interesting discussion. According to this, you should have to tear Kriya on all words of blasphemy, even if the guy didn't say what it says in Sanhedrin. You know, in Sanhedrin, it talks about, like, the Chi of Nisa from Agade. If someone says, I don't want to say, Yossi is like the stand-in, Yaakov Yossi is, may Yossi kill himself. That's the only way to really, it's one of these Chi of Nisas, which you have to be a London to be Chayav. The only way to real blaspheme is, what are you going to say? You're going to say, I hate God? That's not blasphemy. Blasphemy is you curse God. Say, you know, I hope someone kills God. What do you mean no one can kill God? That's a joke. The only way to really blaspheme is to say, no, I hope that he kills himself. Because that already is a very serious statement, right? Because, what do you mean, it's like, you know, I hope Michael kills God? You know, that's a joke. He has no access, right? So only Yake Yossi is Yossi. Parallel to, when am I chayv Malkus for cursing Aryeh, right? If I wouldn't say that. When am I chayv Malkus for cursing Yankov, I say, may God kill Yankov. So likewise, by saying, may God kill, as it were, himself. So that's actual blasphemy. So he has an interesting discussion. Is it only when someone says Yaki Yossi is Yossi, like the Taz says here, Yaki Yossi is Yossi? Or anytime someone says words of fear and denying the power of God, like in the original case that we remember from elementary school? So interestingly, the halacha is like the Taz here, only Yaki Yossi is Yossi. That's the assumption of the Achronim. Even though logically one could certainly make a case that anytime someone says something that we call blasphemy in our vernacular, you should tear Kriya. The halacha is only if they do a formal gidduch al pi klalei haTorah. There are lots of stories about people who are in places where people say all kinds of kfirah and tore Kriya. That would have a makor in the biblical story that is based on, but strictly halacha, you're only chayev to tear Kriya if someone says a halachic gidduch.
I feel like the Taz's explanation of why we don't tear necessarily is for
non. Correct. Yes.
Otherwise, you're just going to be full.
Right.
Full of Kriya.
Correct. And even if the kino v'afilu amar b'lashon laz, even if they just use the word God in laz, chayev lekrov u'yishishmenim yisrael v'yisham as benazem mumdim. Only hear from a Jew. Why? This is an interesting lundus in the Rambam, but according to the most Rishonim, because If every time a goy blasphemed Yetir Kriya, the Ein L'Dabar Sof, the goy will just blaspheme all the time to make Yetir Kriya, and therefore only if a Jew. And therefore some people say a mummer, a Jew who became a Christian, is like a goy because they'll just do it all the time. So only if a Jew. Even if you're just in court, and this is Gemara in Sanhedrin, and you hear the Edom testify, Ploni said these words, and he's chayiv misa, you have to be korea when they repeat it. There's a big machlokus in the Notes of Kalim here. Only if they repeat it word for word, or even if they say, yeah, he said what it says in the Mishnah Sanhedrin. Yeah.
So technically, if you had just said that now, we're going to do Tarek Kriya.
What?
Technically, the examples you were giving, we Tarek Kriya for that, you said it properly.
Maybe. No, because maybe only if I report someone actually did it, not discuss it theoretically. Okay, next case, which unfortunately could be more likely to happen, we hope not. Someone sees some anti-Semite burning a Sefer Torah or Tefillin or even a scroll of Nevi'im Uksuvim, like the original case when Yehoyakim burnt the it's commonly assumed that he burnt Megillas Echa, but some book of Nevuah. Korea Shte Krios. You have to tear twice when, unfortunately, this happens, right? The Goyim, if they chashal and burn a Sefer Torah, you have to tear twice. Once for the material, the cloth, and once for the letters. The doctors are sorfen and sorfen zorach maishahayim, but only if they burn it violently, like the mice with Yoyakim. Meaning, if chas v'shalom, there's an electrical fire and all the Sefer Torah get burned down in the shul, it's very sad, but you don't tear Kriya. Kriya is only if someone does it violently to be against the Torah, like the story. It does the Tassus doesn't have to be fire. They could destroy it other ways. But if it's an accident or negligence, you don't tear Kriya. Only if someone does it on purpose and with violence, like the case of Yoyakim, when they tore Kriya, when he burnt the scroll of Yirmiyahu's Nevuos. But? No, only if you're there. And Lamed Ches, Hara, or Yehuda, Bechorbanon, or Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, Chayiv L'Kriya, right? If you see, or Yehuda destroyed, or Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, you have to tear Kriya. This is a little controversial nowadays. We're not going to go into it. You know, why do you have to tear Kriya on these things? Do you have to tear Kriya on Ari Yehuda because they're taken over by the Goyim, or because there's no Beis HaMikdash? So we generally assume because they're taken over by the Goyim. Otherwise, what the difference in Ari Yehuda? And therefore, if they're under Jewish sovereignty, we don't tear Kriya. Do you have to tear on the Beis HaMikdash because it's taken over by the Goyim, or because there's no Beis HaMikdash? Lachor, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So we still tear Kriya nowadays when we see the Makom HaMikdash. How about Yerushalayim? There's a little bit of debate. Some of the briskers say, no, Yerushalayim is just an extension of the Mikdash. You tear on Yerushalayim because there's no Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, even nowadays, you tear on Yerushalayim, the old city, not the new city.
So
we assume, no, Yerushalayim is because it's under sovereignty of the Goyim. But nowadays, it's under Jewish sovereignty, we don't have to tear. And therefore, the minhag olam is that we don't tear on Yerushalayim or Ari Yehuda, we only tear on the Beis HaMikdash, because Yerushalayim and Ari Yehuda aren't so bad. We have a Jewish state again. But the Beis HaMikdash is still so bad, because who cares if we have a Jewish state? We still have a Chorban Beis HaMikdash.
In terms of Yerushalayim, is it defined as, like, you know, archaeological old city Yerushalayim, or like, you know, current old city?
No, Pashas archaeological. Pashas archaeological. Okay, we don't have to get into all of the details right now. Kol Elo Akraim, all of these ones that are not for people who died, but for bad news or Yerushalayim, etc. Rashay the Mol of the Shol and the Lakhtal and Asosik Mitzulamos, you can repair them in an unprofessional way in the Machrosa the next day. Ainimus Achel Olam, you can never. Ichoy. One thing that is not explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, although it's a machlokas Rishonim and Achronim, is how big of a tear do you need? Let's say for nowadays, when you see the Makom HaMikdash, a tefach on the outer garment, or all your garments achi galus libo. The minhag olam is, it says Rav Tokachinsky, even though in Shulchan Aruch Orachayim. And with this, we'll end. In Shulchan Aruch or Chaim, it says explicitly, it's like parents. However, if Tukachinsky says in Sefer Yisrael, the minhag is machlokes Rishonim, the minhag is not like the Shulchan Aruch and Or Chaim, of course. The minhag is that it's just a tefach of the outer garment. So yesh machmirim, but the accepted psak is that on the kotel, it's not really the kotel, it's really the Makom HaMikdash, which is above the kotel, then it's only a tefach in the outermost garment, and one can rely on the minhag olam. When it comes to that, okay, there are always more details, but that'll be for another time.
Is that the one before?
So it is a great question. There are